You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Are we using headphones or no?
We don't need to use headphones, well, yeah, but we are on the breakfast table.
Here's the thing. Every podcast Ferris. I've ever seen in my life wears them. Oh, this is Darshan.
And today we are joined by Ryan Trainer from the Ultimate Nerd Podcast, and I'm your host, Brad.
And we're lost.
And we're recording.
Just flip the switch and let's just keep talking, Brad.
I already did.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. Yeah. Oh, that's what I was confused. Down. He pointed at me. He was like, Ferris. I was like, yeah, I think that's my name. So, man.
But yes, but it has been a wonderful 2018 for nerds, and 2019 is looking good too. But we're going to do a quick recap of everything 2018 that we love and adored. We were briefly going over the fact that the PS3 is kind of coming to a close now, finally. Mm-hmm. PlayStation Plus, the last game that's going to be on PlayStation Plus for the PS3 is going to be Metal Gear Solid 4, which is a nice closing for it.
And a big closing.
Yes, because that was one of the games that really pushed the PS3 in terms of sales.
That is not a game I want to have.
That was the first game that I actually bought, played, and beat on the PS3 as soon as I bought it.
You know, bought and watched on the PS3.
Well, yeah, dude. That's hilarious that you say
that.
You
gotta play the game a little
bit. There's like 4 hours that you play the game.
Yeah, it's hilarious that you say that.
32 hours.
Because when I first played that game, like, you know, first PS3, first game, I'm like, is this what all games are gonna be like when I play this system? Is it just gonna be a movie every time I watch this? Like, and then, you know what happened is that the era of the commercials for video game commercials, they stopped having gameplay in them. You know, this was back in like 2008. So it's like, how awesome would it be to see a commercial finally again, to see some actual gameplay in it? You know, it's like a lost art, you know?
Darshan, what does this say?
Mm. I can't read that.
Mm.
Some sort of lightning bolt.
There's two things. It's Kojima Productions, for one, and also Foxhound. Like,
I love that across the table.
I just saw the head.
I couldn't make what it was.
I just saw the head, and that's all I needed.
Yeah. I just like how Ferris's eyes widened. He was like, I know what that is.
I knew Ferris knew what was up. He knew what was up.
Yeah, no, I'm a big Metal Gear fan. So
that's like, cool.
Yeah. That was like the first game I played. On like Metal Gear Solid 1 was the first game I played ever. Like my dad was a PS1 like tryhard. And he was like, yeah, come over here and play this game. I was like, I'm 3. I'll try.
The first Metal Gear Solid?
The first Metal Gear Solid on PS1.
Whew, that was a good game though.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, that game actually had gameplay.
Yeah, the whole game.
It's crazy how that works.
Remember when games had gameplay in it?
Remember you could play a game instead of watching it? I remember those days.
Hey, you have Life is Strange where you just, you know, in the Walking Dead Telltale games, you don't play those.
Yeah,
you just watch them.
You experience
them. They're
like
interactive DVD games.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And what in Black Mirror is like, we're going to be very, very cool, and we're going to make this experience movie.
Choose Your Own Adventure movie.
Oh,
yeah,
Bandersnatch?
Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
That movie
was terrible.
I love the premise of it, but yeah, it's a bad movie.
No, thanks.
Objectively, if you were to watch that movie without the, like, going, what are you going to do? Are you going to play the game or go to bed? Why are those the only two options? You know? Mm-hmm. And then if you were to just watch the movie straightforward, you'd be like, this isn't a good movie at all.
Well, does it still have that like mind-blown ending like they all do?
Oh, totally. But
again, 17 endings.
They had a good idea, but they like...
17 endings.
Yeah, there's 17 endings. Yeah. I'm not even kidding about that. There's 17 endings.
It's like, what do you call it, The Witcher, where you have to play like 5 million different ways to figure out the different
but
endings?
But see, that's fun because you play a game. You know, you build a character, you like do this, you like, you know, you're killing people, you're fucking people, you're doing all this different shit, but... Then they make Black Mirror, and it's like, what kind of cereal do you like? Oh, my God. Really?
Well, needless to say, there's also the point, I think, like 15 to 20 minutes in where it doesn't matter which option you choose. It puts you right at the very beginning of the movie again.
That's what I disliked about it.
Wow.
So you had to go through everything again. So
the whole loopback?
It adds an extra like 20 minutes onto the
movie.
They just kind of messed up the decision tree on that one.
Is Bandersnatch like an interactive movie?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Choose Your Own Adventure movie on Netflix. You could pick like...
Is this Dragon's Lair? Like, are we talking about Dragon's Lair right now?
Kind of, yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, as an experience, it's kind of fun. but the movie is kind of not so good.
And Black Mirror is so good. It's it like, is. Why'd they do that? You know, it's like the episode made a lot of sense and it would have been a good episode if it was just Black Mirror. But then they like did this control thing where you like can pick and do this. Because what I think Black Mirror fans would want to do is just like get home from a hard day and just like watch some fucked up shit for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
And that explains that movie. You gotta
be up for way more than Ender's Game or Infinity War or whatever. It's like, oh, man, I was just. So
does it take longer to like interact and watch it than it would be like a typical movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the fact that they add an extra 20 minutes on it because you had to loop back to the beginning.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And then when you get back to that point,
I mean,
the concept
is kind of cool. Like, I think that's what it was. It's like an introductory standpoint, with Netflix and saying, "Hey, this is something that we can do now." And I'm hoping it'll get a little bit better over time. Maybe in like the next 10 years, it'll be sweet. But it kind of blows.
And you know, video games do that. You know, video games have those telltale kind of things, and they're great. You know, like you can pick a shitty ending and a good ending.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or like all those kind of things, but they just made this so pigeonholed.
So what I'm noticing here is video games are more like movies now, and movies are kind of like becoming video games.
Yeah, but they don't like the latter.
The more things change, the more things are the same. Welcome to 2019, folks.
It's getting weird, man.
I guess speaking of Netflix shows, like stuff that like I really enjoyed over the past year, like did you guys ever watch Altered Carbon at all?
I watched a few episodes and
that show, I'm going to tell you right now, the first like two episodes were super slow. Like it was a lot of world building. But then once you get past that, you cannot stop watching it. It's ridiculous.
I heard that it was a better Ghost in the Shell than
Realistically, yeah. Because like the whole premise was, there's a guy named Takeshi Kovacs, whatever. Like he's a part of like this group of people who like could use the like memory discs that they implanted in everyone, but like when he used it and like could go into someone else's body, he didn't have like the motion sickness that most people did, and that's what made him dangerous. So like the people that were like him, they couldn't go into like positions of power or anything that would like cause mass panic because they would never die realistically. Mm-hmm. But the premise was like something happened to him, fast forward 300 years from when it happened, and now he's in a world where he doesn't understand it and he's in a new body trying to figure out what happened. But the only reason why he's in a new body is because he's like licensed by someone else to figure out why they died, but he's also finding out stuff about the world and himself while he's doing that. It's like a good Ghost in the Shell, if you will. Like a good Ghost in the Shell movie, not TV series, because the TV series is
the animated series for Ghost in the Shell, top notch. There's nothing that can beat that. When they announced that they were doing a movie, I was like, but why though? You already got perfection.
It wouldn't have been bad if it wasn't, I don't know, Scarlett Johansson.
That was controversy. Yeah.
She did 23andMe. She's part Asian, right?
I mean, like the person
that's how that works. She was in another Asian
Ghost
movie.
Ghost in the Shell said like it was a great picture, but I also think anyone would say that when they have a blank check written to them. So
sir, we would like to pay you billions for your franchise.
Literally what they're doing to Kojima right now. Like Death Stranding, they were like, "Yeah, you want a game, right?" It was like, "Yeah." They just give him a check and it's like, "Write what you want on there." But do I have a time limit? No.
I think they just gave him the black card. You know.
Yeah.
And I like
swipe as, swipe
the PlayStation
as you will.
Black card.
Yeah.
Swipe
with the Sony points.
So they're getting PlayStation Plus money while he's building the game.
I also like where he's going with the game, where they were like, "Do whatever you want." He's like, "I want to make a game where you are a delivery boy
with a baby."
With a baby.
I was like, okay, can I have Guillermo del Toro? Sure.
Yeah.
Can I have Norman Reedus? Why do you want him? Can I have him? Mads Mikkelsen, please. And then they add in a random person at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who the girl is. Apparently,
yeah, that chick with, like, the umbrella. You're like, are you supposed to know this girl? I'm like,
No, yeah, like, and the sad part is, like, I don't even know if it's going to come out on PlayStation 4 now. Because
it
might be like PlayStation 5's coming through like next year.
Well,
so.
No, they just announced that like they're shifting all their first party stuff is shifting to PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about the rumored tech that's happening. I think I told you something about it. It's like
it might be backwards compatible.
Yeah,
like if they next do that, it's gonna be a big move.
Optical based CPUs with Ryzen technology.
Mm.
It's just ooh.
It's gonna be so good.
Ooh wee.
Ooh
la la.
Yeah, R.I.P. and peace, Xbox.
Yeah.
I think Death Stranding is going to be good, though. I love Kojima games, and I like his ideas. So even if they go bad, I'm all for it.
When I played in 2025, I think it'll be really good, too.
Cool.
See, I just kind of think that...
With your child, when he's 3 years old, or she.
Yeah. Right?
Hey.
Just like your father with you.
Exactly.
Has anyone played Kingdom Hearts? You know, it just came out after...
Alex's been all over that. He's been, like, creaming all over
since
that.
Alex isn't here, and I'm the resident and better Kingdom Hearts fan.
And you're actually here and not on the phone.
You heard it here on this podcast without Alex here.
But yeah, no, it was definitely surreal to see Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out. Like, I've been following it pretty heavy. Like, you know, every D23, the only reason I would watch it is to hear something about Kingdom Hearts. And
I want to take a moment here to say the first thing on the day that Kingdom Hearts released on your Facebook was, I picked up Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. No. So a couple days beforehand, I found out that there was a Krispy Kreme opening near my job. And I was like, wait, this is like the closest Krispy Kreme for like 10, 15 miles. So then like I made a post saying like, everyone on January 29th, Kingdom Hearts is coming out. Me as an intellectual, Krispy Kreme is opening near my job this day. And that's exactly what I did. Like I went to the Krispy Kreme before I even went into work, and that was my experience with it. You know, like I had more fun with that day one than I did Kingdom Hearts just because I had to work. But yeah, no, going back to it, like Kingdom Hearts, like it's crazy to think that it's here. I went, you know, balls to the wall. I got the special PS4 Pro, which unfortunately things happened with that.
Was yours one of the canceled orders?
Mm-mm, I didn't. But I was afraid it was because like they placed a hold on it. And I didn't know they were going to place a hold. So I was like, oh, the money's gone. And then it came back that Sunday. And I was like, oh, is it gone? So then I had to like call and everything. But no, I found out it was fine. But like, it's just like, I'm happy I got it. You know,
it's a special PS4 edition.
It's a special PS4 Pro. Yeah.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
What's so cool about the skin on it? Or?
Yeah, like it has a matte finish on
it. Was the heart in it?
Huh?
Was the heart in it? Or was it heartless?
It's around it. I mean, it's a machine, so I can't have a heart. Can't love.
It was a nobody.
It's a somebody. But yeah, like it has like, you know, decals all across it and stuff like that. It has like on the disc drive right under it, it has like the different logos you would see in Kingdom Hearts.
Cool.
And then the controller is super unique. Like it's just a blacked out kind of like see-through controller. The buttons are gray. Like the symbols on them, and then like the sensor pad has like a weird design on it.
That's cool.
And most controllers don't get a design on the pad. They usually get it all across the controller. So
yeah, I think the only other one that got that design was the 30th anniversary.
The 30th anniversary got one, and I think the God of War one maybe.
Okay.
I can't remember though, but it's just like, yeah, it's crazy to see that I have it in my hands, you know, like. As I said, every D23, I was looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, and like technically they said it was going to come out in 2018 and then it came out in 2019. Like technically that was fiscal year.
It was close enough.
Yeah, it was fiscal 2018, so I'll give them that. But yeah, no, it was definitely a crazy thing to see. Like every trailer over the December, I cried. Like not even kidding. Like driving. Just check it at the light and I was like, this is terrible. So.
Don't YouTube and drive. Come on.
No, I said at the light. I definitely said that.
Yeah.
Still
well,
driving.
I remember when the pictures of the PS4 Pro were coming out and it was the matte finish. I was like, they know how to do a matte finish on a special PS4 Pro?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is hope in this world. And then people started posting the pictures of the controller and it's glossy. I was like, they were so close. Mm-hmm. So close.
Well, what is it? I have the 500 million controller too, the see-through blue one. And like, I wanted the 500 million system all day long, but I also didn't have $600 for a PS4.
Yeah.
Just to find out that it was going to be a cooler one in 2 months.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm glad I did.
For the five. Yeah.
So.
But yeah, the Kingdom Hearts was definitely one of the big ones that came out this month that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. And
Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil 2.
That's
kind of surprised.
So good.
It is a really good game.
Fucking awesome.
Like, I actually don't know which one I want to play more. Like, I also upgraded my computer, so I'm just kind of overloaded with a lot of things I want to do right now. But, like, I don't know which one I want to play. Like, Resident Evil 4 looks amazing on the Pro, like, or 2, rather. Like, every single part of that game, it feels so much like Resident Evil 2. Even though it's a new play style, it still feels exactly like how I played it back in the day.
I got scared. I already beat that game 1,000 times when I was a kid. I'm still scared.
The first time I saw Mr. X, I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
I need a new bed sheet.
That's it. These pants are ruined.
Like, I like these pants.
That's,
oh, well.
That's the way I looked at it with Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out. You know, I've been a fan from that from day one, but I've been more of a Resident Evil fan from day one. And, you know, when Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, I'm like, all right, I've already been waiting how many years? I'll wait till this goes down a little bit, even though it's getting a little bit good praise from what I'm hearing. And but Resident Evil 2, I'm like, just take my card.
That was an amazing.
And it's been great. It's so good. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's challenging. It's scary. Fun to watch. Like, it's hitting all the boxes for sure. So
yeah,
this one doesn't feel like, because I know when Resident Evil came out, it kind of felt a little VR gimmicky, where if you weren't playing it in VR, it wasn't really scary.
Yeah, that was 7.
That was just 7.
That was 7. Yeah, that's
because
what I
7
mean.
Was literally meant to be that way.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of ties with PlayStation, so they wanted to market it with that VR.
This one doesn't have that kind of
feeling. No, it's not literally at all.
It's like
RE4.
Harder Resident Evil 4.
Like, really?
Like, Resident Evil 4 you got to aim, you know, like.
You
got
to actually get the pieces
to
your weapons, because if you don't, you're probably going to have a bad time.
You actually have to do a lot of the old shit that, like, I was like, man, I have to fucking go find this key to this thing. Yeah. You know, it we're like 4 and 5 kind of like straight off from, but like, since this is a remake, you have to like appreciate it, and you're like, all right, and you do kind of know the lay of the land, since they do keep it kind of the same. It is a lot different though. Like, there's like, you're like, there are so many parts where I was like, I totally forgot about that, and I totally forgot about this, and but it's a very challenging game and fun to play, and it looks freaking amazing. Yeah. So good.
And then, like, I like some of the small tidbits they did. Like, example, like in the development process of Resident Evil 2, when they were first making it, it wasn't going to be Leon and Claire. It was going to be Leon and some racer girl, and she was like a motorcyclist, and like she like was going through
like
Raccoon
a new
City.
Character.
Yeah, an entirely new character. And she was going through Raccoon City at the time, and like her motorcycle like crashed, of course, because zombies. And then she was stuck in the situation with him. But they ended up canceling that idea and making it more being about Claire, so she could have her secondary game and actually have like a more fleshed out character. And then also Harley Davidson got a lot of sponsorships, weirdly enough, from this. But they put it in the deluxe version. If you buy like the skin pack for Claire, she actually has that girl's outfit.
Yeah, the red and white. Yeah,
it's a really nice tidbit, because it's like something like you would only know if you looked at the development for. But it's like
nice little nod for.
I had that magazine. That US Gamer, like I don't know what it was, you know, but it was one of those things. I thought it was funny too. I posted this on my Twitter. Because in one of the rooms, because I bought the Resident Evil 2 survival guide, you know, like the, you know, how to play the game back when the internet wasn't a thing. So, but they had in this Raccoon City, like room that you'd walk into, the American flag was upside down. And I took a picture of the room they redid, obviously, for the new one, and they made it different. And they showed that in the instruction manual for the walkthrough and all that. And I was like, that's so funny they like thought about that. Because if you play Resident Evil 2 for PlayStation, the flag's upside down in one of the Raccoon City like
rooms.
It's just like weird.
It's just small tidbits. Like, it was definitely a game that you could see that they were very meticulous with, so it's nice to see it.
They took the time, you know, for sure.
They made it a game for the fans.
And then like they're looking to make Resident Evil 3 now.
I hope
of that.
Really? God, that's my favorite. Nemesis, come on.
Every single Resident Evil right now could be played on a new console except Resident Evil 3. Because it was the last time he made it was on GameCube.
Okay.
So that's why they're looking into doing it. The Heart Gold effect.
Yeah.
So.
As long as they do it right, like they did this. I'm going to have to actually pick up Resident Evil 2 now, because
so Resident Evil 3 is probably not going to come out until like – it's going to be on the PS5 and whatever the new Xbox is going to be.
There's no way. Think next year? Yeah, next 21 or 20?
No, it's going to be a while, because like they worked on Resident Evil 2 – for about 3 years.
Very
before detail they
oriented.
Announced.
And that game's short. It's not long. It's like you can beat it in 8-9 hours. It's not long.
Yeah.
But there is one thing you mentioned, Ryan, of you have the strategy guide for the old one.
Yeah.
And that's something that's going away now. Prima is stopping making strategy guides.
Yep.
That's,
like, why would you need them, though? I love to have them, but
I think for collector's purpose, I like them, but that's about it.
What about with like the Let's Play like, you know, communities out there. It's just
let's play.
YouTubers are going to go down.
Then you have the guides already posted online. Like, even during IGN's early days, that was basically what they were there for, is people would create strategy guides and post them up, and it became a race to see who could get a strategy guide up first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it, Game Sages? Game Sages back in the day?
Game Sages.
I don't
Sounds
remember
like
that
a good
one.
Website.
Man, I think I'm older than you guys.
I know that's been around forever.
No, I think it was before that. Game Sages is what I used to go to find, like, there's one before that I can't even remember. This
I
is like
remember Cheat Planet.
This is probably this is like 1997. I would go to Game Sages. It's owned by IGN now, so.
Okay.
It got bought and sold, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, that's an era that's going away now, is the physical guides from Prima. And I want to say, what's the other major one besides Prima?
I don't know, actually. I can't really think of it. It's like Prima, and that's all I remember.
Yeah, I can't even remember the other one, but yeah, they're going down too.
What,
they're
Nintendo
not...
Power?
I mean, Nintendo Power technically was like a RIP. Monthly strategy guide.
Yeah. It was.
God, the artwork was so good.
I have one of the early editions where I had the full blown map from Zelda. So
yeah, like that was, they had to do that because nobody knew where to go because everyone was just plotting. Everyone was becoming a surveyor.
Zelda. Like they'd have the kids would have their moms help them by like plotting and mapping where they would go. I mean,
then there was also the Nintendo helpline.
Yeah,
you had to call in to get tips to how to beat the game. Mm-hmm. And they charged by the minute.
I saw a documentary.
That would be
on
this
that.
Podcast right now.
Yeah.
They had giant series of binders in the back room, and they would go and grab whatever game that they had, and it had an entire, like, it's basically a printout strategy guide, and they read it over the phone to whoever's, like, on there. It was just pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what's crazy now with games, with people, like, hacking into them and, like, leaking out all this stuff. Like, you know, like, they did it with, like, Smash, with leaking out their characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
Nintendo's always been the big company for that.
And, you know, and that's, like, just how it is with, you know, people, that's what you learn now. You learn about, like, how to get into, you know, programming and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you're going to understand how video games are made and
how to get into certain things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just crazy. So there was a time where we're looking for that. Now we're looking for the secrets that they're hiding, you know.
It's the same with tech.
Yeah.
It's the same with any tech, just like video game, like the iPhone and all the stupid things that are coming out with the new
politics,
Samsung.
Yeah,
and
you know,
politics.
All that stuff,
to be
so.
Honest, I think that's why Prima kind of went under, because Nintendo, they started having really bad embargoes on a lot of the strategy guides for games that were releasing. Like, they would not have a strategy guide out day one. Like, it wouldn't be until like,
oh, maybe because
a week
people
or two
were
later.
Getting leaks from
because,
the strategy guides.
Yeah, because the retailers would get them. Like maybe a week or so before, depending on when the game launched, and then people would steal them from their jobs and then post all the information online.
Yeah,
and like of course they're just like, oh, I'm being great, you know, I'm giving out this information, you don't have to pay for it, but then obviously that's illegal. But it sucked because it kept happening to Nintendo. It was a very common thing. I was like, oh, well, there's a new leak. Yep, okay. Well, I don't even know why they're doing it direct now. You know, like it kept happening. So I remember with Sun and Moon, it took almost like 2 weeks after the game came out to get a strategy guide, and it was just. At that point, nobody cared. They'd already either beaten the game or gotten what they needed.
And the reason it would always happen to Nintendo is because they're one of the companies that would keep secrecy and try and create surprises in their games.
Yeah.
So
they do a decent job. Like
they do a good job, but for the most part, they're always a target because they're one of those companies that always goes, you know, we're going to give you just enough information about the game. We're not going to tell you some of the big things that are going to happen in
it's
it.
It's just like Apple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nintendo doesn't need to advertise Samsung. Those big events because people are going to buy the game. People are going to buy the new Zelda, you know, regardless of if they know who all the characters in it are going to be.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about with Smash. You know, it's like they had that E3 thing where they're like, oh, you're just putting out Smash Brothers? And they're like, yeah, we're just, you know, this is the new game coming out. Most amazing Switch game ever. It's so great. And
it is actually surprisingly fun.
You know, and they put so much work into it, and they like basically just did this thing about it where it just, you know, everyone was pissed off. They were like, oh, that's all you got? It's like, yeah, because it's fucking awesome.
That's kind of cool that we're in an era now where kind of the product speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Before it used to be a lot of marketing and it used to be shit marketing and now it'd be shit games. And now it's actually like, hey, we don't even need to like advertise anything that well for that matter because it speaks for itself. Go buy it and try it. And if you don't like it, then who cares?
There's like don't get mixed up. Yeah. There's still plenty of shit games.
Yeah,
out there.
Yeah. But it's not like as overhyped. You know.
No, I agree, Darshan. I think they should like kind of like bring the reins back with a lot of, and you know, shit doesn't have to be over the wall like Michael Bay, like shit blowing up all over the place. You know, it's like if you have a title that's with the name, it's like we're gonna put out the next one and it's gonna be good. All right, I'll be there. You know, if you're a fan, you're gonna buy it.
You know, and like something I've noticed too, like over these past couple of years, like especially in 2018, a lot of indie games started to blow up. Like example, like Hat in Time, which was like a traditional
Celeste.
Yeah, Celeste. You know, like a traditional
Dead Cells was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a Metroidvania kind of thing, and then even Bloodstained. You know, like the Castlevania successor that came out. You know, like what is it like? I was actually doing this earlier today. I was playing Earth Defense Force. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that.
It is
an incredibly niche game.
Yeah.
Incredibly niche. Like the whole premise of the game is you're playing as a group of people. There's apparently a whole bunch of ginormous. That sounds like some weird like kind of like
ginormous.
Like it sounds like you're like, oh yeah, I'm a ginormous. What's up? Like, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, like all these incredibly huge insects that you're fighting. So like it's literally like ants and trapper spiders and big regular spiders. It's just like it looks ridiculous in the gameplay, but it's hell. It's like I was playing it earlier, like there's like 500 ants on the screen at once and you're trying to kill all of them. It's only two of you. You and a friend. And I was just like, this is a game that I could play for hours on end. But this is incredibly like – it's not Nintendo, but somebody will still buy this because of the gameplay.
Yeah,
you know?
That's one thing with indie games is they don't have the push of the characters. They can't be like, oh, we're releasing this and sell it like Legend of Zelda. They sell it on a gameplay aspect. Mm-hmm. So some of those games, I think I played more indie games last year than I did AAA games. Because even at the end of the year, you get the PlayStation, you know, how many hours and how many things. Mine basically came up, you played Spider-Man this year. Good job.
Yeah, no, like I've owned all of them. Like I had God of War, I had Detroit, you know. Spider-Man, all of it. The only two I played this year were Spider-Man and Detroit. Like, I didn't play anything else. Like, I have them all, and they'll get played eventually.
Yeah. Who knows? You tell yourself.
Yeah. No, they've been sitting there.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, more indie game. Like, I probably put about 40 hours into Spider-Man this year. I probably put 50 hours into Enter the Gungeon this year.
It's a game.
Which is an indie game that is super fun, super frustrating. I hate it, and I keep playing it. Mm-hmm. And more indie games are pulling me in this way than AAA games. I can easily list every AAA game I played on one hand last year. I couldn't even count the indie games.
You know, that's kind of the thing with, you know, they're pushing so much open world games, which are great, and they're getting kind of this place where they have open world games where it is like a Red Dead or, you know, Grand Theft Auto where you have to explore this world, you know, tooth and nail. But, you know, there's God of War where you can actually play through the story. And if you don't want to, you can, you know, just kind of go through the story and get through in like 20 to 30 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know, a lot of people, you know, kind of like juggle between that, you know, like I don't want to play a game for... I played Persona 5. That's a game you cannot play for – you have to play like 150 hours of it, basically.
Easily.
Yeah. And it's just, I just like to do that. But some people like to – and that's where indie games come into play where you can play 10, 15, 20-hour games like Undertale, all that kind of stuff where it's just fun. You know, it's like a – it could be a platformer. It could be a shooter. It could be different and – I think that's where the Switch has the one up on it for it. So, like, compared to like PlayStation and Xbox and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Switch being portable has been the best thing for 2018 for me. Because 2018 was my year of traveling everywhere and being able to kind of just be able to sit in the hotel room, turn on the Switch, and play it full games and everything like that.
Yeah.
And on a screen, and I even bought one of the portable dock kind of sleeves that you could take apart the dock, put it in this little mini case, and then actually have a travel dock. And that was beautiful. Nintendo needs to make one of those officially. Because it's... I think I carry that around with my Switch more than I carry around my Pro Controller with the Switch.
Right. So let's transition a little bit and talk about what we're looking most forward to for the rest of the year. I heard rumor-wise, but we don't talk about rumors here that much, that possibly the Switch might come out with a new version at the end of this year.
There's talk of a portable-only version of the Switch. I think that's what it is.
They've been talking about that for a minute, like a version that doesn't have like the detachable Joy-Con.
More cost-effective version for like the little ones.
Yeah. And then also there's a lot of talk of like a powered-up dock or like a Switch XL where it will have like either more screen or more power to it so it can actually play games if they wanted to go down the route of doing 4K. Because Nintendo usually isn't on the curve for a lot of that stuff, but it'd be nice to see it if they do it.
Yeah.
You know,
like I would love a docking station that kind of gives you a little bit more power when you're playing it in a docked mode. But at the same time, these rumors have been going on since the Switch came out.
Okay.
You know,
I've heard them for a couple of years now.
Yeah. So. I've heard the rumor of them working on a beefed up docking station since people started complaining that the docking station didn't actually do anything besides transfer it to
support
a TV
replicator.
Signal.
Yeah.
Because like the big thing is too, in Japan, they did sell the Switch without the dock and all that. They did it for a short period of time where it just came with – it didn't even come with a power cable. It was literally a Switch with two Joy-Con and that was it. And it sold for like $220 or something like that, which is a pretty decent deal. If you wanted to go down the route of getting the dock and the charger and all that, then you would pay like, you know, an extra like $30-$40 to do it. But it was a nice alternative because a lot of people had like travel Switches where they would like keep their Switch at home and then their other Switch would be the one they would take when they were on the train or going wherever. So
travel Switch, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, the whole – I remember in the main commercials like some dude that's in an airport and then like some girl next to him's checking it out and then he's like on the plane and he's playing it on the – the tray on the back seat, you know, on the
which
airplane
I can
seat.
Say I tried that on a plane during a 9-hour flight. It does not work like that.
It does not
the
work
switch
on the tray.
It just falls down because there's too much motion on an airplane for
should've
it to
recorded
stay stable.
That.
I should have.
My favorite thing about the Switch is I played it in front of people where it's like, you know, nowadays everyone's on their cell phone and they're playing dumbass, like cheap
Angry
garbage
Birds
games. And I just throw on Smash. And I'm like, I'm playing this fucking beautiful game. I'm just, you know, playing Smash. And these people are like, they just come out of like the woodwork and they just want to see, like, what is that? Wait, do you,
what you doing?
Do you don't have the internet on it? And I'm like,
can you watch YouTube?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm playing a video game. Go back to your social media and all your shit. It's like hilarious because I'm like, you have more power on this than the Switch.
Yeah.
But I just have one game on here and you think it's like the most amazing thing in the world.
I mean, the Switch is
– It's great. It's so good.
Wonderful for what it does. When you try and go, well, it doesn't do this. You could create a laundry list of things a Switch isn't capable
I don't,
of.
I'm glad it doesn't do that. Yeah. I don't want YouTube on my Switch.
Yeah. The things it does well are play games. And
yes.
That's what I want it to do.
Exactly. I have time to kill. I want to play some games. So
there's a whole lot of streaming services coming out later this year. I mean, Disney, for example, has got one.
I don't want to do any more streaming services. I'm good with my Hulu, Netflix, Spotify, Amazon Prime, DC.
Crunchyroll.
You know, Crunchyroll.
Yeah, you got to get Crunchy.
Verve. Funimation. I don't need more.
Are you sure?
Just stop. Just stop with them, please.
I heard they're going to spend more money than any other studio company or any other media company this year just because they're trying to launch this, probably from a marketing perspective. And
oh, you mean
infrastructure
what they got
standpoint.
Back in their tax return?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not their tax return, their tax break.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mean like Disney got back like $2 billion and I was like, yeah, let me just use like 500 mil to make the service real quick.
I think my prediction with, hey, you might like this one, Apple, with the iPhone. You think they're going to switch to USB-C?
Oh, if they don't do that, they're stupid.
I mean, they already did that with the new iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, I checked it out the other day at the Apple store. It's not bad.
Yeah, like it sucks because it's not an it sucks to say it's not an in and out feature. Like you can't connect a mouse or a keyboard through that. It's still only through Bluetooth if you have those items.
Aww.
So like you can't hardline it like you think you could. It's literally only for like maybe data transfer and charging.
That's for now.
For now. Yeah. Until it gets marketed as such and then people are like, oh, okay, maybe we'll do it, you know. But like if they don't do it next year, like they're just – they're absolutely ridiculous at this point. Like the fact that Lightning Connector has been around for now 7 years, yeah. It is considered an incredibly slow – it's no different than micro USB at this point. It's just the fact that it's reversible. Like yep. If they don't do it at this point, they're just going to be stupid because like they can't even do fast charging. Like you legitimately cannot do fast charging with any form of Apple device unless really? Yeah. You buy a specific adapter that does it, which involves USB-C. You have to get a – you have to get – a wall brick that has USB-C in it, then get a USB-C to Lightning cable to do that. And altogether, that's like a $50 piece.
Yeah. So I know that chargers, for example, are actually changing in size. And the reason why is that they're silicon-based normally. And now they're changing to a different substrate medium altogether, which is making even the power adapters to charge laptops even smaller. Like before they used to be called bricks. Now they're not really bricks. Like the size of like a cell phone charger could power like a MacBook Pro USB-C. So that's something that first generation is coming out this year in 2019 that I'm looking forward to in 2020.
Yeah, for sure. Like
I just want to say Ferris's rant went through the walls and immediately got Randy to spring in here.
No, I didn't go through the walls. I was listening on the app.
Oh, you're like, oh, iPhones, what? Here, I'm jumping in.
First, the iPad with the USB-C connector, you can plug a keyboard in to that. It will work with
Can you now?
iOS does not have support for a cursor, so a mouse plug-in does not work. There's no way to do a cursor.
It's just like my big thing was that they need like a lot of people. Well, for one thing, they market it as a replacement for your laptop. But then it's not a replacement for my laptop.
It's like a media pad.
Right. It's like it's a great process. Like
it doesn't like know what it is yet, but they're like, trying to figure it out.
It's right. Like if they figure it out and it turns out to be phenomenal, RIP and peace to Surface. Like, you know what I mean? Like
it's, the Surface is already on its
The Surface is doing really well.
Is it?
Yes.
Dude,
it's a lot of art studio. Design and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All these products are like doing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great creation device. I mean, it's not a laptop replacement in the fact that, I mean, you wouldn't want to spend a lot of time typing on it, but everything else is fine. You don't need a cursor with a touch interface.
I mean, those that are like, let's say an artist with like a Wacom graphics tablet, you know, and they want to do whatever on there, this might be a fine replacement for something they want to do. Because
it's even better than that.
Yeah, because the pressure sensitivity is like on point.
Pressure sensitivity, but also because it's direct manipulation. You're drawing directly on the screen instead of with a Wacom tablet where you're kind of drawing over somewhere and watching it appear somewhere else.
No. They have tablets with the screens built into
them. Yeah, the Cintiqs and things like that, I guess. But those are ungodly expensive for some reason.
Hey, if you're an artist, you know, it's just like
it's still a cheaper option than some
artists that have no
money.
Maybe
you're a kid in school. This is the best way to go. You know what I mean?
Also, the Lightning connector does support USB-C speeds, and you can do fast charging with it. You need a 12-watt or...
I literally just mentioned that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Tell us something we don't know, Randy.
You need a faster charging brick in order to do it, but you do need something more than 5 watts.
It's kind of funny, too, because 12 watts or higher. Like, I see that, like, with that, like, that's the official way of doing it, like the USB-C to Lightning, and then also that charge block that can do it, and that's like a $70 attachment. But then it's like my Anker car charger that does it. Can give me fast charging through USB-A to Lightning.
With a 12-watt or 18-watt USB-A connector power brick, you can – like the iPad power brick using with an iPhone will do fast charging as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the device that ships in the box, but it is capable of fast charging if you have a compatible thing like an Anker wall wart or whatever will support the faster charging.
I personally, I use an iPad and obviously I use my phone and like I have my iPad charger generally charging both. Yeah. It's just usually whatever I'm not using. Yep. You know, so
what do you guys think of the era of foldable phones coming towards us?
Excited to watch all the videos of people breaking them.
I don't even want it.
Bendgate all over again?
Yeah, I understand the screen's malleable, but nah, I'm not a fan.
I'm actually kind of curious because I kind of want to see one in the flesh. More so because I want to get that like tactile feedback of what that type of screen is because you know it's not like glass. So it's like some sort of plastic base. And they said that they had some issues with like kind of the screen going bad after bending it too much, but they fixed that in production. So, and that's not the only keyboard, like it's not the only company that's making these foldable phones like Samsung. There's other ones that
are Huawei, I think.
Huawei is coming out with one, but there's the era of the keyboard might come back because you can open it up and.
Motorola's making one too. The yeah. Razer is coming yeah, back as a folding screen.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know if it was a folding screen or if it was literally
that
just
was
two
my
screens.
First cell phone.
I'm pretty sure it's a folding screen.
Yeah, I think that's what's.
But what is the use case of a folding screen?
It looks cool.
Is it worth $1,500?
Yes.
I mean, that's the price you pay to be, kind of like a. Pioneer,
remember the Matrix?
Early adopter.
What was the point of that?
You know, but, like an iPhone was that, like, you know.
But they're just selling it as, hey, the screen folds and not, here's what you can do with a folding screen.
Yeah, right now.
What is the use case? Why do I need a folding screen?
Yeah, their entire marketing strategy is, hey, check out this folding screen thing that we're showing you in the dark so you can't actually see it.
How about the same people said the same thing about, like, the iPhone, like, 20 years ago?
So. I mean,
why do I need to call my friends and family?
12 years ago, the iPhone selling point was it's a mobile communicator or an internet device, an iPod, and a mobile communicator all in one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but I don't need to pay hundreds of dollars for this thing that I can flip open and, you know, call people with, which is what it's supposed to do.
Right.
That's the mentality that people had back then.
It was designed.
I sound like you're having now.
I mean, it was designed like the selling point was replace three devices with one. That's a
selling
point.
It wasn't even so much three devices. It was pretty much we threw an MP3 player in a phone, and it also had internet capabilities. That wasn't even really one of the big pushing points.
Whereas folding screen is just, hey, the screen folds now.
Yeah.
Like all I see from it is like example with like Linus Tech Tips and stuff like that when he was at CES and showing it off. Like I was seeing, I was like, oh, okay, I have a folding phone. Oh, I could fold it out. So now it's larger. I was like, so I have a tablet?
You have a tablet.
Android though. So Android is not so good with larger screens. If it's just stretching the phone app to make it bigger, why?
I mean, like they're great with larger screens. It's just unfortunate that like the power is not there for their tablets.
I don't know. Android hasn't really focused on tablets since like Honeycomb. Like they even removed
like
a lot of APIs
tablet
and stuff.
Skin.
Yeah.
And it looks fine when it's a tablet skin, but if you take like the phone skin and stretch
give it a few more generations, it'll be fine. You'll have a keyboard and everything.
It's all going in our heads.
Also, the phone, the screen on the Huawei phone folds outside, so there's screens on both sides of the device when it's closed. It's not internal fold. So you fold it in half, and then just half the screen is behind the phone.
You fold it in half, and then you fold it again.
Kind of looks like a weird newspaper.
Yeah. So it's folded around the outside instead of the inside to where it's protected.
Can you beat kids with it?
Which makes sense because then you don't need a second screen. But it just feels weird to have a fold on the outside.
What was the phone where it kind of looks like a DS where it has the hinge and it's like two phones bolted together?
Oh,
you're talking about like that old, like it was two touchscreens, wasn't it?
I think it was like a ZTE dual screen, or something like that.
I know
that.
What you're talking about.
I remember
anybody who had it, and
both screens are cracked.
They were trying to get rid of the notch. Like every company was trying to figure out some fancy way to get rid of the notch. And then they had one with like one phone that had two screens, like one on the front and one on the back plate. But it wasn't like dual screen, like two different screens.
Yeah,
I don't know how to explain
it. I can't remember. What was it? The Oppo Find 5 that was trying to get rid of the notch, and then they got in trouble for lying. But like it was literally a phone where it's like, okay, we have
Samsung,
no notch because it pops up and that's where your camera is.
S10's got rid of the notch. They just took the screen, made it OLED and punched a hole in it for the camera.
Yeah.
And that's what the new one is all about. And then it's got a built-in fingerprint sensor in the screen. So – you know, that's the.
I've seen these hole punch screens, and I'm not sure how I feel about them.
I don't know how durable they are. Yeah,
It's OLED. They're.
It feels
they're
bad.
The most durable.
Like just from looking at it, there's just a big hole in your screen. Whereas with a notch, it's at least contiguous with the edge, so you have. It feels a little more integrated into the system than the hole punch, where it's just like, oh, part of your screen's missing.
Mm. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see kind of where they go with it because there's the whole notch thing. Mm-hmm. Then it's foldable screens. That the next year of phones is going to be a strange one.
It's going to be a strange year because they were also in the cornerstone of 5G. If that happens,
that's happening.
All of Podcast Detroit is going to be foldable screen.
So another thing I'm looking forward to tech wise that nobody's really thought of yet. Maybe it kind of made me realize that when I was looking at the CES stuff earlier this year, is all the smart sensors and the Internet of Things that devices that are just going to be rampant. You know, within the next decade. Like I put together my Samsung Smart Things like over the weekend, and I mean I put a vibration sensor that just came out on my door so that I can know when people are knocking. It'll send like a text message to my phone when it knows. First of all, it knows when I'm not home, so it knows to arm the system, and then it knows to send me a text when somebody's knocking on my door. So I was just like, oh, that's pretty cool. So like I'm just going to be ecstatic and going to be surprised at the same time about all these different things that are going to be connected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Along with that is the new Bluetooth 5.1 spec, which can now pinpoint devices within a centimeter.
Oh, from location?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know when that protocol is going to really establish in devices. I'm starting to see 5.0 and a lot of like headphones and things like that. And that's definitely helping with power consumption and longevity. And they were able to actually put like smaller batteries and make them like thinner and lighter, like even headphones. Especially those like they're like the wannabe AirPod markets, you know, like with different JBLs making them. Every company's making them where they're like separate. If they have the 5.0 protocol in there, then they could put a smaller battery, but it lasts just as long, you know, as like a fat one. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And the audio actually sounds better too. So
higher
bit rate travel, like throughput.
I never realized how big AirPods were as
until the like, meme happened.
Pretty much.
I see it on Snapchat then, like every day, like those stupid AirPod memes. Yeah.
Not only that, but when I went to New York City, everybody has AirPods. Every single person. I don't know if everybody has an iPhone, but everybody has AirPods.
I love my AirPods. They're so handy.
Ever since Metal Gear Solid happened, that's all I wanted. Just to do this.
Yeah. Just, you know, two fingers over the ear and talk.
I don't have AirPods, though. So.
You have Android, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You can buy them and just
you
wear
just
them.
Buy the fake ones.
That's what I do.
And they're cheaper, too.
Exactly.
I've seen cheap
$10 Bluetooth
so
knockoffs.
Many knockoffs.
Gas station checkout counters.
Exactly, yeah.
AirPods, that's
what Snake would
Android,
do. He wouldn't go on Amazon and buy the iPod things.
No, he'd make his – no, he'd have – what's his name? Make him ones. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. What's his little – the scientist?
Otacon.
Yep.
It's been so long since I played that game.
Not Raiden.
Yeah, definitely not Raiden. He can't do anything on his own.
No, he's good at running around hallways naked. He's really good at that.
Hey. And flip kicks.
But yeah, and in terms of like movies coming out this year, there's quite a few big ones. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have the Avengers movies with Captain Marvel, Endgame, Spider-Man. Really excited for those.
Mm-hmm. I saw my favorite movie.
Alita.
It was
amazing. Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you see
it? Yeah, I saw it. I saw it before everybody else. It was great.
Yeah, I'm jealous, man.
All I'm going to say is you got to watch the old video animation prior to going to see it. That's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you can see it on YouTube, guys. Anybody that's listening out there that wants or is interested in checking out Alita, I just say YouTube it and go check out. There's like two parts. It's like 24 minutes.
It's like an hour and 30 minutes long.
It's not even. Yeah. And it's worth your time to check out because then you understand the context prior to going to see it. And then you can actually create a like or have a judgment that's mm-hmm. quite valid. Because when I walked out of the theater and like people were being interviewed and stuff like that, I heard like they're like, oh yeah, the ending, it wasn't as good as I expected. I was like, the ending was exactly like it was in the actual animation. And I've never seen and Alex could agree on this too. I've never seen a manga adaptation done so perfectly well in my entire life.
In terms of adapting the content.
Nice. That's
cool. And
that's
James really Cameron, cool. man. I mean, James Cameron is James Cameron
Robert
because
Rodriguez.
He is. James Cameron is James Cameron. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I saw a headline from comicbook.com saying that they expect Alita to bomb at the box office.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to bomb. And that's
the no one knows
thing.
What this is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen trailers or commercials for it either. So they're not really hyping
they're
it.
They're mostly showing trailers for it in like IMAX and everything like that because that's –
I saw it in Dolby Cinema.
Yeah, Dolby Cinema, because that's the way that James Cameron wants to watch.
It's the James Cameron way. He bought this franchise, you said, in like the 90s, Brad? Yeah,
back in the 90s, he bought the rights to make a movie.
What's funny is the guy, Ajax, in Deadpool 1, he's one of the cyborgs in it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot his name. Like, I don't know his actual name. But he's obviously his just face, isn't it? Because his whole body's like all CG, but... Mm-hmm. I thought that was
cool. It was great. 10 out of 10.
That's
I'm going
to
go see it again.
I'm glad to hear
I plan
that.
To see it when it comes out.
But yeah, I mean, that was my – I'm done.
I'm done for this year, guys.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to see.
Speaking of animations that I don't want to see live action, Akira might be getting one this year.
No, I don't think it's going
to
come out.
I don't want it to.
It's not going to happen.
They got the guy that made like Thor Ragnarok that might be directing it right now.
Taika Waititi?
Yeah.
Nah,
there might be a little hope in that one if Taika's
doing it. I don't know. I've seen the other things other than Thor that he made, and they blew.
Green
Lantern? They Come From the Shadows?
Green Lantern?
Nobody remembers that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just my thing. That might happen to Akira, too. Like, Akira is so monumental in what it did and like how it broke. Like the idea of cinematography and what it could do animation wise.
Make that
there's
movie.
No way to just make that movie unless it's just as impactful.
So
like, there's
good.
No if anything, like, remaster it and just come out again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was made in the '80s, so it probably was, you know,
yeah. And
you
it
know,
took place in
4K rip somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
2020 movie came out, right?
That year. Yep. Takes place in the same year as the Olympics. Yeah.
They did a remaster of it for its 40th anniversary.
It should be 30th.
30th anniversary?
Yeah,
because I remember that being a big deal.
2016, yeah.
Because they re-went over every single one of the animation cells
just,
and redrew
just had
it.
The shells.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Okay, so I'm going to get that.
But yeah, because it was a big deal that they redid it because they even fixed some of the errors from the animation of the original and like color, you know, correction and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, live action for that one. It,
no.
It would have the same effect as
you
Ghost
just
in the
can't.
Shell.
You just literally can't. Like the moment Tetsuo goes wild, you can't animate
There's
that
so many scenes that you could say you can't. Like even when the buildings fall.
The baby telekinesis.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that. Like the bike scenes will look weird. Like unless...
Now, the bike scenes will actually look sweet, like, but that's all you'd get.
You'd do the only bike scene
and that's it.
If we get the guy who did Kung Fury make it, yes. It'll look great.
I feel you like it's going to be some like...
2 hours? Campy 80s. You got 2 hours to make that, basically.
I got 2 hours of Kung Fury. I'm okay with that.
I love that movie, but he can't do it.
You know what? Just skip the whole Akira thing. Let's just give money to the Kung Fury dude and let him do 2 hours of whatever he wants.
Yeah, have him make a new movie.
I don't want like some shit like Attack on Titan wannabe piece of junk. Like it's got to be 100%. Mm-hmm. And you know they're not going to do it right. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's not going
to
happen.
Make new stuff. Stop
because
trying to make.
Like, they're trying to get people to make it, and they haven't spent enough time, like, digesting it and like, trying to make it good, you know?
Yeah, they get people throwing these, like, they're like, this is popular.
Dude,
like, all right, I'll make it.
James Cameron took, like, 11, 12 years to make Alita, and it was good.
How long did he take to also make Avatar?
Oh, he's making,
which
like,
one?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, came out in 2009.
And he made it how long?
That's original, though, so.
And trash. At the same
time, making,
he
got
a
blank check and they're
going to
make like nine more.
And the idea, but then I looked at it and I was like, why am I here? That's how I kind of felt about it, unfortunately.
If the movie wasn't a breakthrough in terms of like technological feats,
it would be okay.
It would be okay.
Yeah, it would just be
people remember it because
it would be out of body alien experience.
Yeah.
You know,
Alita's the same. It's a technological feat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just mocap, it's like everything.
Mm-hmm. But there's story behind that. With Avatar, it was an original story that was a copy paste of a story that was copy pasted from another story that was copy pasted from another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't original.
Oh, the original. Yeah, I get it.
It wasn't very good. Like, if you were to cut down what you remember from Avatar, I want you to name one of the characters by
name. I can't even remember a character. I just remember unobtainium. That's it. Isn't that like a word in there? Like they can't get.
I don't even think that's the real word that they use. Either.
I'm pretty sure unobtainium is something else.
I think, yeah.
Some other.
I can't name any character. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I'm like.
I just know Zoe Saldana was in it. That's all I got.
You can name some of the actresses or actors.
Shit. Alien chicks in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. The guy. Weird tail sex.
The
guy. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, is that old guy in those movies? Is he in there too?
No, he's not in that one.
So yeah, no, like. I don't know. But, like, I guess going back to the idea, yeah, like, it's going to be a pretty strong year, especially for animation. And then
Godzilla.
Also, Godzilla. Yes. I'm excited because this is the year that they introduce Ghidorah. Finally, we get to see King Ghidorah do something.
And Mothra.
I don't want Mothra. If we get Batra, if we get Batra at the same time, yes. Otherwise, I don't want Mothra because Mothra is just a shocky moth.
So cute.
I want to see that with like the rumbling seats, you know.
If that's a Dolby sound.
I'm also going to be pissed if they introduce Mothra and they don't have the Mothra sisters. I'm going to be really upset if they're not there.
They had the song in the trailer.
They did. Yeah. But if they're not there, if I don't see two very poorly put together girls,
summoning Mothra.
Are they twins too? Yeah.
Yes.
They gotta be twins.
If they're not,
they're probably dead.
If they're not poorly positioned and in the corner somewhere, summoning Mothra, I don't want it.
Ferris, I think there's hope because I'm like 90% sure they show a small tidbit of them in the trailer, in one of the trailers.
Okay. Because I
didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't see that at all. I was excited for Ghidorah.
It could have just been that they put two girls together and then they just happened to have Mothra in a scene afterwards. And I just was like, oh, it's obviously them.
It's cool because they're introducing Ghidorah, we're going to get Mecha King Ghidorah eventually. Yeah. Because we already know he's going to lose. He's going to get bodied. They're going to rip off one of those heads. And then he's going to be dead somewhere. And they're like, ha, we got this. And they're going to Lego brick him back together and bring him back for the third movie. It'd be great.
I just want to hear a spoiler. I just
Ghidorah every time. Like,
I just want to hear a scream. His noise is so awesome.
Right. I just want to see the lightning. I know the lightning's going to be. Ugh.
Yeah. That movie is going to be amazing.
It's going to be fucking cool.
I'm seeing it at the MGR Experience. I'm not going to any form of IMAX. Like, it's not going to capture that movie. Right.
But no, I'm saying the MGR
Cinema is the way
one.
To go for this one.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. It could be. Well,
I'll probably end up seeing it in both forms.
Just to see which one's better,
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so.
That's definitely one.
When is the release date on that? Do we know?
It's in May. I remember that much.
Probably May 19th. Or somewhere around there.
Yeah, it can't be too close to Infinity War because then that's going to be a problem.
Infinity War is in April 26th.
That's what I'm saying. It can't be at the beginning of May because nobody's going to
see
it.
Yeah,
we got the
Captain
Marvel movie. I don't know if that's any good.
That's March.
That's next month.
We'll see how that one turns out. I'm kind of excited for that one.
Yeah?
I like Captain Marvel.
I'm just excited the leader of the Clash of the Demon Head finally did something after Scott Pilgrim got bodied him. You know, finally she forgot her memory. She was a rock star, became a space alien.
Broke
it was
up
great.
With Scott.
It's going to be awkward when she meets Captain America, though.
I totally forgot that was the chick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's
she
actually
looks way hotter than Scott
the chick
Pilgrim.
From Scott Pilgrim, the one that he's after
she
the
does
whole
not
time.
No, no, no. So, like, the Clash of the Demon Head, the really popular group that they meet when he fights. I can't remember the guy who played first Superman.
Todd.
Yeah.
Todd. But like when he met her, that's Carol Danvers, like literally right there. And I'm curious to see because there's been a lot of jokes of that, like saying like, "Oh, I'm so glad she got her life together," you know,
this as we speak.
She has a beautiful voice.
Yeah. So
after she broke up with Captain America, things were rough.
Yeah, and then you're gonna see Captain America. I was like, "What's up?"
Yeah.
You know, I want to see if they made a joke at all about
it. Better. If they don't make some kind of reference,
because
to
that's all Marvel, that's actually Marvel. Well,
how many people from Scott Pilgrim are now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? It's like half of the characters from that movie are now in the MCU in some way.
Yeah, Brie Larson.
Yeah,
yep. Brie Larson played I can't remember her name there. But.
Yeah, she also did a cover of the song "Black Sheep" for.
That's hilarious. There's
Scott Pilgrim.
Metric, all I did is Metric Google that, and
Metric was the band that made it, but Black Sheep did a cover of it, and it's fantastic.
I loved her version better than Metric.
I did
too.
They chopped
Metric
her
good,
face
but.
In a photo that I Google imaged of her from Scott Pilgrim on Captain Marvel's body.
And she's way hotter.
Yeah.
I mean, she's beautiful, but she's way hotter than Scott Pilgrim.
As somebody, Scott Pilgrim is still my favorite movie. Every time somebody from that movie gets cast in something else, like Ramona from that movie is going to be in the Birds of Prey movie as Huntress.
Knives Chow was in Glow.
Except for Michael Cera.
She was.
Cera
so and it's kind of funny that she played a stereotypical Asian in both.
Yes, 100%.
Like she was like crazy ninja girl in Scott Pilgrim and then Asian ninja girl in Glow. I was like, what happened?
Dating an Asian high school.
Yeah. I think the best part
she's
is
good in that.
From the comics, she's even like turned down a notch in terms of like how much of a stereotype she was in the comics versus the movie even. And she's still just purely stereotype. But that is all the time that we have here today for The Breakfast Table. As always, you can catch backlog of our episodes on iTunes and Google Play. Until next time, this has been The Breakfast Table. But before we go, I do want to thank our special guest, Ryan Trainer, who you can also catch more on the Ultimate Nerd Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Brad.
Yep, glad you could join us. And until next time, this has been The Breakfast Table.